We are beginning the fourth parak of Tomer Dvorah, and in many ways, so we're speaking a lot about how we can be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how we can tap into certain things that are present by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we spoke a little about, in many ways, it's building off of some of the Sfiros. We spoke about Keser, Chachma. We're speaking today about the fourth parak, a very brief parak, which is about the Mida of Bina. The Mida of Bina. Heich yargil ha'adam atzmo b'midas ha'bina. How a person can get into this Mida called the Mida of Bina. And he writes, v'hu lashuv b'tshuva. That this relates to tshuva. She'ein davar chashuv kamoa. There's nothing as wonderful or as powerful as tshuva. Mibnei shehi mitaken es kol pgam. Because tshuva has the ability to fix anything which is broken. Kmo shederech habina, like the mida of bina, has the ability. The mate kol hadinim ulevatal mirirusam, has the ability to sweeten all judgments and to mevatal any bitterness. Kacha adam yashuv b'tshuva v'isaken kol pgam. Umisha mehaher b'tshuva kol yamav, and anybody that's able to tshuva all the time, gorim shetayer habina b'chol yamav. Anybody that does tshuva, they're able to have bina shine light on all of their days. V'nimtzu kol yamav b'tshuva, then you'll be in tshuva the entire time. Tanu lichol atzmo b'bina shehi tshuva. It's a way of connecting to the world of bina, which is a world of tshuva. V'mechayev me'utarim b'soda tshuva hal yona, and your world will be elevated with this higher level, of tshuva. Okay? There's something going on with tshuva and its relationship to the mida of bina. This seems to be very, very Kabbalistic. It also is the base of something which we do three times a day, and that's a Gemara in Maseches Megillah on Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara in Megillah, in describing the order of Shmona Esrei, says as follows: the Tanya, Shimon Hapkuli Hahistir Shmona Esrei Brachos and the Rabbi Gamliel Al Seder Biyavne. They had to put together. We're going to have Shmona Esrei, but what is the order of the brachas? So, okay, it was Mea v'eshem zekenim v'hem kamen neviim tiknu shimon esrei brachos ala seder. They were going to have all of these brachas that were going to be there. So why? We start with saying avos, then we go to gvuros, then we say kedusha, then we say bina. Bina comes after kedusha. Ata choni la adam das, umelamed la'enosh, bina. Right after bina, umau ra'u lomar tshuva achar bina, right after. We have Atachon Adam Das, we have Hashemenu Avilu Sarasecha. Based on the Pasuk, and say for Yeshaya, Uva Aznav, Ulevavo Yavin, your heart should understand, should have Bina, Vishav Virapalo. And then there'll be Tshuva, and then you'll be healed. So there's something about the power of Tshuva, which somehow is connected to this Mida of Bina, and a proper understanding of the Mida of Bina would allow a person to better understand the nature of tshuva. This idea is found also in a lot of Sifrei Kabbalah. In the Raya Mehemna, Parshas Naso, Dahi mitzvah tshuva vada ihi bina. All you have to know is the word tshuva and bina are both there with some Aramaic. There's definitely a connection going on between tshuva and bina. What exactly is bina and how does that relate to tshuva? So bina is an idea in the world of Kabbalah. This is not my area, it's not my tchum, but in different Sfarim, they speak about Bina, I think, in slightly different ways. And I think, what I'm saying right now could be on one level ridiculous, but we'll try to give an insight, I think, that we can maybe understand. There's Chachma and there's Bina. What's the difference between Chachma and Bina? So the Mida of Chachma is the ability to see things in big picture. I can see things in a very, very big picture. I have a certain vision which takes place. There's also a mida called Bina. The mida of Bina is to be Mavin Davar, Mitoch Davar. Bina is the ability to understand details within something. That I have the capacity to understand details of what's really taking place. That's why Rav Kluger, in one of his Sfarim, has a beautiful description, I think, by different kinds of people. There are Chachma people and Bina people. You'll interact with people like this. Chachma people are big picture people, but they don't really get down to the details. The visionaries that can't really do things lemaise the same way. People that are super bina people, so they're great detail people. In Hebrew, you call them like a bitsuist. They can implement things, but they lack no vision. A program is thought of in the world of chachma. Bina is the person who then has to implement and get the details of the particular things that are going on. It's an element almost of like fragmentation that takes place with Bina. But Bina is very much elevated, and it's very, very, it's very exclusive. But there is that capacity to focus, to focus on details. On one level, Bina Hitshuva is that if Bina is about the ability to focus on individual details, not only see big pictures, so we understand why Bina may play a role in the tshuva process. Because a person that's all big picture, how you doing? Oh, it's great. How's everything? It's awesome. Or it's terrible, it's all big picture, can't really take that first step towards the tshuva process. Because one of the things you need to be able to engage in tshuva properly is the ability to focus in on particular details. You think everything is great. What about this in particular? To be maven in a very subtle way, is this going well, or is this not going well? There's a certain kind of midah, which is very significant, of being able to live in a world of elements of fragmentation. If you're a Joy Rosenfeld person, so in the Sefer he put out last year on one of Rabbi Nachman's stories, a long discussion about Chachma and Bina. Again, it works in different words. But the world of Bina is the ability to identify, but also then elevate. To identify details and then be able to elevate them, which is the Midah of Tshuva. To see details, but how they become part of something, how I can elevate them to, again, if we're talking about a program, the vision, the implementation, and the capacity to elevate. How exactly that is going to, how that's going to play out, that's part of the Midah of Bina. What's interesting here, I think, is a little bit about the way he refers to tshuva, and we'll share some insights. Elements are very intense. That you should be even nimtzu kol yom of b'tshuva, you should constantly be in tshuva. So there's something very heavy about that, something very Musser-like about that. They quote in one of the Biurim here on the Tomer Dvorah, I really realize we should really be learning from Matzia Salomon's Sefer and Tomer Dvorah. Okay, gotta get there. But they quote the Chidah in one of his Svarim. The Chidah says over that someone once asked the Rambam a question pre-Yom Kippur. It's a question that many of us may connect to if you're not very hard on yourself. That someone asked the Rambam, he said, you know, there's a whole Nusach of Vidui on Yom Kippur. Do I have to say the whole Vidui if I didn't violate all the sins? I didn't violate all the Chataim, so I have to say the whole Vidui. I'm saying I'm sorry for things that I never did. So there's three Mahalchim, I think, to answer that question. One Mahalch, which is out there, is that elements of the Vidui that we're saying on Yom Kippur are a Klal Yisrael Vidui. Not the vidoy of just individuals, but we're part of a klal, and as long as there are Jews in the klal that did violate this, me by nature of my arvus, again, the ritva, the rana, Rosh Hashanah, it's ki'ilu, something's lacking in me, if something's lacking in them, so I'm saying a vidoy because my kol yama b'tshuva is, even if I'm not so terrible, it's kol yama b'tshuva because there are Jews out there that aren't in a great place, and I experience an element of responsibility for them and where they are. The second reason why we would say to say all of it is for very technical and basic reasons. People mess up, not really sure what I did, what I didn't do. And instead of saying, like, go through every one and, like, rate yourself, nah, no way that one, you'll throw out some of the, you know, you'll throw out some ones that really you should say. So it's just easier to have the nusach and say nusach in that direction. Wouldn't that be, you know, better than anything else? Wouldn't that be the smoothest thing in the world? However, there is a third mahal. This is the Chidah and the Sefer Midbar Kidamos. I don't know how to say it. Marach Avav Os Yud Aleph. That the Rambam responded as follows. Vizel Lashono. I don't think it's in Rambam anywhere, to my knowledge. Ilu yadata kamachamura avodas Hashem. If you properly understood just how severe avodas Hashem is, v'kamatzarich la'ezer Hashem, and you knew how much you needed Hashem's help, ha'yisi yodeish bevadei en yom she'inata osek kol ha'amar bevidoi. You would know that every single day you're violating every single thing that is found in that vidoi. V'od nosaf kahena v'kahena. And more even than is found in that particular vidoi. Sha'arei matzinu bedavid alav Hashem, nichtav alav avon eish ish, v'hi'aysa migureshas. That when it comes to David, this is his pshat in those Gemaras that call Omer David in Chata in Alatoa, that David didn't sin, that Bathsheba was perhaps actually one day in the Gemara Ksubis and Daf Tes, that when David slept with Bathsheba, she was already divorced. Nevertheless, he gets punished Ki'ilu Eshesh Ish. How can that be? Lemaisa, she was divorced. Why would Chazal describe it that way? Answer, because the severity of sin and the need for perfection is so great, because Baruch Hu judges us, it's almost like unfair. It's almost unfair. That a person needs to be so great. I'll elaborate and I'll tone that down in a second. But it's so great. One of the ways that some explain it is like, you know, in a baseball mashal, so there is like the Mendoza line. I think, is the line. If you're batting 200 or not, that's the line, which is like, are you an atrocious baseball player or are you okay? Like, are you batting over 200? I think that's what it is. Hopefully, you know, if any of you were in high school softball and you batted below 200, I make you feel bad right now. Apparently, you should feel bad because you are below the Mendoza line, I think is what it's called. But you can go to the Hall of Fame with a 3-something batting average. You know, you're in the Hall of Fame. If you're batting 400, you're the best to ever play. In Avodas Hashem, sometimes, so different areas of life require different elements of perfection. The standards are so much higher. If you would get a 40 on every test, we wouldn't say that you should get a Nobel Prize. You get a baseball Hall of Fame. The question is, what are the expectations and the standards that I'm supposed to be able to attain and meet in these particular contexts? That's part of the question. Because of that, one of the yesodos that the Chidah seems to be highlighting here from Rambam is the expectation is to bat 1,000. The expectation is to have a degree of perfection. And our Hagdara for what you need for perfection is incredibly, incredibly high. The standards for Avodas Hashem are so great, and I really have to get this correct. Like, the implications of not keeping halacha are real. They're real in terms of the punishment. They're real in terms of the tumah. They're very, very real. And this is one of these sodos which those that like to critique, like this generation, there's like a school of thought out there that loves to critique these things. So one of the things that they'll often critique about this generation, and to be more frank, this generation's mechanchim, that they'll critique is not giving over the importance of it. It's more like, whatever you do is amazing. Whatever you do is great. Hashem loves you no matter what. And it's like, Hashem may love you no matter what, but gevalt, he's going to punish you. You know, and when you're sitting in Gehenna and you're like, oh, Hashem must have really loved me for that one time I put on tefillin. And God's like, I did. You're just now, you know, in Gehenna for the thousands of times you didn't put on tefillin. Like, it is what it is. Like, Avodas Hashem is serious. Like, Borer on Shabbos with Hasra and Kabbalah and Eid is Chayv Misa. We throw you off a cliff and throw rocks at you until you die. You know, that's just what it is. Oh, but isn't that, like, not fair? And, like, why isn't God with the times? Whatever, man. It is what it is. So says the Chidah here. Says the Chidah, again, I don't mean this akadikach, I'm trying to express a point. But says the Chidah, like, this is what the Rambam is saying, like, it doesn't mean that a person's violating everything that's vetoed. It's not true, we're not violating everything. But what it means in a certain sense is there are levels and madrigas of perfection. There are levels and madrigas of perfection. And in many ways, it's elusive in the sense of the lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. I can't achieve that highest level pure perfection, but there are shmeks of different averas. It says Rambam, every day there's maybe I'm not entirely pure in everything. Does the person literally have to think about the entire vidoy every single day of Yom Kippur? Of course, no. But there's something there which is kol yom of b'tshuva. It's a more intense sort of description, but to tie in the fact that, like, that's what it means by kol yom of b'tshuva. And I would say, which I think if I'm right about part of what the Hagdara of Bina is, of being able to be to the attention to finite, real, specific details. So if that is true, the world of fragmentation, of what's broken, a person who's channeled and has the capacity to really pay attention to details in a very subtle way may discover at times that there are sort of weaknesses. And there are elements where I'm good, but maybe I'm not as good as I could be. Like the Baal Shem used to say, you know, if I see a person violating Shabbos, a Jew violating Shabbos, that says there's something about my Shmir Shabbos which is not perfect and ideal. It doesn't mean that I'm violating Shabbos. Doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that maybe my Shabbos is not as pure as it should be, and therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me that message by my seeing someone do something like that. Maybe there's something along those lines. Now, the way that we typically respond to this sort of overwhelming feeling of, oh my God, this is just like, this is crazy. You know, like whatever this could, it's so intense. So the way that we sometimes respond to this in ways that I think are understandable is that it's very, very heavy and it's very, very overwhelming. It's very heavy, overwhelming. And therefore, some will tell you, no, don't embrace these ideas nowadays, which are in some of the Sifrei Musar. Learn Sifrei Musar that are more positive and more upbeat. You know, have a l'chaim at night. Some will tell you how great you are. You'll sing a positive, upbeat song, and then we'll all be good to go. You know, Shalom al Yisrael. That's a mahalach which is out there. I think for the Tomer Dvorah, the Mahalach which is out there is actually something else. The same way the standards are so high, so related to that is the accessibility of tshuva. Tshuva fixes all of this. And if you're kol yom of b'tshuva, so that's the line of she'ein davar chashuv kamoa. There's nothing as good as that. And tshuva is ki karv lecha davar me'od b'fichol v'chol laso. So it's so easily accessible. And here, hooray tshuva. Just thinking about tshuva can do an amazing amount. That's like gemara in kedushin daf mem tes. You know, hamakai says isha amanasha ani tzadik. You're mikudeshes because maybe you had thoughts of tshuva. So on the one hand, the mahalik doesn't always have to be, nah, it's really all good. It's really all good. Part of the mahalik can be, maybe it's the standards are so high. So proper perspective is necessary. I am batting a good percentage, and that's important to know. Mitzvos, I'm good. But even if there's a feeling and looking through a vidoy of like, this is what it is, so like, it is what it is. And averas, like, they really matter. They really, really matter. It's like, if you relate to averas as like a basketball player who has six fouls before he fouls out. So as long as I don't get to number six, I'm all good to go. But the first four or five, you know, those are throwaway fouls or something like that. You know, whatever it is. So that's one thing. But like, I don't know how Shashan relates to averas. Like, they're real. They're real. And therefore, again, a certain diktik bahalacha is critical. But despite that, the more that we're aware, so one response is not being overwhelmed by that. Mitzvos are massively important. The koach of a mitzvah is greater than the power of an avera. We can't focus on averas too much. It'll make us depressed. It'll break us. We shouldn't be so scared. Yiras ones has its limitations. V'chule, v'chule, v'chule. But part of the idea is, on some level, tshuva's accessibility is the tikkun for the severity and intensity of diktuk b'halacha and shmiras mitzvahs. That's what it is in a certain sense. That's why that it's Kimosh derech abinah, the mate called dina levatal mirusa, kacha adam yashav b'tshuva v'yisakein kol pigam. Umisha mehaher b'tshuva b'chol yamav. The result is unbelievable. Because you can have the net result of batting 1,000. If I think about tshuva every day, misha mehaher b'tshuva kol yamav. I'm just thinking about tshuva all the time. Then goreim shetayer habina b'chol yamav. Then I'm just, there's a light of wisdom, of bina, which animates everything that I do as a result of this. It's awesome. It just, and the way I would add it a little bit, the way to look at tshuva is not only tshuva as far as the sins, but the way many spoke about it, Rav Kook, I think probably most explicitly in Arsa Tshuva, is that we're talking about tshuva as something which is bringing me to where I'm really supposed to go. It's tshuva which is bringing me to the most elevated form of myself. It's tshuva which is helping to bring a world to where it's supposed to go. And that's part of the tshuva process here that we're talking about. That's part of what we're striving for, in a certain sense, is the ability to know what is there, to be aware of certain challenges, but to do what we can to be able to achieve the sweetness in the way that we're supposed to. The bina, the fragmentation that allows us to do proper tshuva, I think becomes incredibly important. As the Gemara says in the Maseches Tainis, Lohayu Yom Tov B'Yisrael, K'chmisha Osav Av, K'chama Kippurim, Yom Kippur is the greatest day, because Yom of Tzlicha Mechila Kapara, that the greatest day, the most elevated thing, is when you know that you are pure, and doesn't matter what you did yesterday, that today I thought of tshuva, today I can be pure, holy, elevated, and that can be a wonderful way to live your life.